Well, hi everybody, Father Alex here. Welcome to another episode of the Godcast. I am the Vicar of St. Matthew's Church. I am the host of the Godcast and I'm also the author of Our Daily Bread from Argos to the Altar, a Priest's Story, which is available on Amazon and all good bookshops. My guest today on the Godcast is Graham Branch. Graham Branch is a former professional footballer who, among many teams, played for Tranmere Rovers, Stockport County, but more notably for Burnley Football Club. I do hope you enjoy the interview. If you do, there's lots of other footballers you can check out on the Godcast, many from Burnley, Trevor Stephen, Andy Payton, numerous players, but also other sports people as well. So do check it out. Do subscribe to the Godcast channel or follow me on X at AlexDJFrost. Okay, but for now, enjoy this interview with Graham Branch. Well, I'm delighted to say that joining me on the Godcast is a bit of a Burnley Football Club legend, Graham Branch. Graham, how are you doing?
Hi, you okay?
I'm all right, yeah.
Good, yeah. I'm good, yeah. Thank you.
I'm just wondering how many people will wonder that you're a Scouser. Do you think that was widely kind of... that surprised yeah. people, do you think?
Probably been interesting. I've lived on the world for 40-odd years. Came over when I was young. But originally, yeah, from Liverpool, Egbeth. Still got, you know, really fond memories of when I was a child in Liverpool. It was very much a massive community, really. And I kind of left some really good friends there. St. Michael's in the Hamlet was our school. We had a brilliant football team. Like, about 6 months after I left, they got through to the national final, primary schools, and I think they got beat. And I think I remember asking my mum, could I go back and play for them? She said yes, but it never materialised. And but yeah, it was those days, all the kids playing in the streets.
Yeah.
You could get away with that, and everyone was mates, and we'd play football straight after school, come in for our tea, go back out on the streets. It was a very nice life.
It sounds like it was a church school, Graham. Was there any expectation that church would be part of a young life for Graham Branch?
Yeah, because I remember every Sunday we used to go to church, and I remember my dad giving me, I think, 5 pence to put in the pot. Sometimes I didn't do that. I bought sweets on the way there, if I'm going to be honest. but most of the time, there used to be like a little shop halfway down towards the church. But I always remember on a Sunday walking down to the church. I think me and my brother got a twin, our filly, and we used to walk down there and go there. Yeah, most Sundays. I think I was in the boys' brigade as well, so they always went to the church anyway. So yeah, brings back a lot of memories.
And I think I know the answer to this question, but a lot of people will say, "Well, is Graham Branch a blue or a red? What's the answer?"
Red. Unfortunately, this week, I don't say that much. I've had a lot of stick this week. My girlfriend's a blue. She's a season ticket holder. But, you know, I've had quite a lot of stick in them, you know, after such a long time with them not winning, then, you know, they're entitled to win every now and then. It'll probably be another 14 years before they win again. But definitely a red. Yeah, I remember going with my dad a long time ago with my brother again, Philly, to Anfield. I've always been a red, and yeah, not the best week, really.
Can you remember your first game at Anfield, Graham?
Yes. Billy Bonds, was he 40? Ham. West Ham, 0-0. Yeah. Liverpool battered everyone that season, like 4 or 5-0. We went, it was 0-0. So I remember, I do, and I really do remember the game. Yeah, it was unbelievable. I'm still waiting to take my daughter. I've managed to keep her away from the blue side. And she's a red, so I'm just waiting to take her to Anfield and experience, you know, her first game. So it'll be brilliant.
Who was your first footy hero then? Was it one of the Liverpool squad? Was it
Kenny Dalglish?
Yeah.
I saw him at Turf Moor about how many years have I been retired from Burnley? It was probably about 4 or 5 years before I retired from Burnley. It was the night. It might have been the night I was injured that Burnley got beat by Liverpool. Liverpool got beat by Burnley 1-0. And I walked past him in the one of the executive lounges in one of the in the stand, and he was fuming. You know, I think he had that side on, and you know, on him anyway. He's, you know, he could be quite a, you know, quite a temperamental nature. But I was desperate to ask for a picture and have a chat with him, and I really regret not stopping him. But he didn't look like he was in the mood, and that was the closest. Yeah, Kenny Dalglish, King Kenny. But Liverpool were riddled with, you know, class players then, you know, and a lot of them were really good.
Graham, do you remember the game where Liverpool beat Forest 5-0? I seem to remember it would have been in the back end of Kenny Dalglish's era. There was players like Souness, Terry McDermott, Jimmy Case. And Ian Rush was up front, I think. And I just thought, I've always felt that up until now in Man City, that was probably the best squad or team knocking about. Would you? There were some team then, weren't they?
Well, the names that you just mentioned are unbelievable players. I mean, they'd be playing in any squad, in any team now, you know, and you're right. You know, having Ian Rush up front, I mean, how many goals he scored for Liverpool was astronomical. I mean, even Salah's turned around to Ian Rush supposedly and said, how did you score so many goals? And, you know, and we all know how good Salah has been for Liverpool. Yeah. But just to see, you know, hear them, those names is, you know, absolutely unbelievable. And they did. You know, they beat everyone, didn't they? You know, comfortably. They were that good. A bit like the Man City now. It's more of a squad game now. And Man City have the best squad in the world. And yeah, that's the reason why, you know, they're so good, because they can replace quality with quality, whereas other teams are maybe struggling, lacking a little bit. But everyone's trying to aspire to try and get the squad as good as possible to give them the best chance of winning stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about you a bit, Graham. This is a podcast about Graham Branch. So was your talent there from a very young kid, or did it have to be nurtured? How did it progress as a young guy?
I always enjoyed football. I mean, I always had a ball at my feet. I played for the A team and the B team at St. Michael's in the Hamlet. And I always really enjoyed it. I played for, you know, and I don't think till I came over to the Wirral that I started playing a little bit more the weekends. I was a little bit older. I was just obsessed with football all the way through to 19 when I got picked up by Tranmere. Quite lucky, even though I was quite late. But I think where I maybe differ from a lot of people is that when people are saying, well, you're getting a bit too old now to have a chance, I never gave up. And a lot of people maybe potentially do give up because they think that they should be in academies at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, which is a load of rubbish. Boys and girls mature at different times, you know, and puberty or whatever they have, you know, and I understand that with me being a football coach and seeing the discrepancies and the variance of abilities, you know, over a couple of years. I always had just unbelievable passion. The Branch family, I had Michael Branch, who played for Everton. His dad, Maxie, was captain of Liverpool reserves, who, should, according to my dad, was one of the best right backs he'd ever seen. And they didn't really get on. So that's a big, you know, compliment to Maxie. You know, and it's always been in our blood as a family. And I've just been very fortunate to be a professional footballer, you know, let's be honest, because I know I understand and realise just how hard it is.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be a ref and I used to do trials matches and there used to be young kids and I used to think, oh, these guys are really talented. But you remember the names like Harry Wilson and Terry Pasley down at Thorpe. They were quite tough, weren't they? They were quite high level expectation with it.
Yes. I think that's the thing with football. People think it's a cushy life. It's not. It's very hard, you know, mentally. Physically, obviously, it takes a toll on your body. I mean, that's Mickey Mellon, the Tranmere manager, the ex-Tranmere manager, Oldham now, Fruity, I was his roommate. We're really good mates. You know, he's going for a hip operation. He's not an old man.
No,
you know, and the football takes a toll on you, especially mentally as well, because there's always them expectations of you, and some players can handle that, and some players can't, and. You know, I never played in the Premier League. It would have been nice. We played enough Premier League teams, which was, you know, a great experience in itself. But the expectation is on you all the time. And it has good effects on you, has bad effects. You know, you become mentally, I'm horrendously mentally tough now. I'm very tough to a point where I don't like it sometimes because it's too tough for the real world. you know, and that's the effect football has on you as you know, playing football for so long. And it's a tough game, you know, it really is.
Yeah, it probably says a lot about your mental strength that you did go into the game at later on, you know, 18, 19, because, you know, football clubs actually prepare a lot of the youngsters. I was watching the thing about Burnley Youth Academy. They almost prepare their players that they're not going to make it, don't they? They put them through an education system.
Yeah. So,
but I actually think what you've said is it's actually encouraging for young players. You know, if you're not making it Man United or Burnley, you know, there's some good players. You know, I quite often go and watch Northwest Counties. That's the level I got as a ref, and it's decent standard football. You know, it's very competitive, and it's still something of an achievement to play at that level, I think.
I think it is, because there's so many footballers. I mean, if you go through Liverpool, you must pass, you know, 10,000 kids on a Saturday morning playing in all these fields. They all want to be professional footballers, most of them. So you realise how hard it is to be one. You know, and I think when it comes to, I'm very stubborn, horrendously stubborn. My girlfriend's always having a go at me. You're too stubborn, all this. But I felt that I didn't want to give up on my dream. And, you know, we've all got regrets. I've got regrets, footballing regrets. But I'm glad that if I look back in another 20 years' time when I am an old man, I know that I achieved my biggest dream was to be a footballer. You know, and I realize how lucky I am. So I think you should never give up on your dream. You know, sometimes you have to, but you know, try and keep it in you as long as possible.
And you went on to, you were at Tranmere quite a long time, weren't you? What was the highlights and the lowlights of time at Tranmere?
The goals, you know, I think Portsmouth, we beat Portsmouth 4-3 Friday night. I scored two, goal of the month. My football was good. I enjoyed it. Certain aspects of Tranmere I didn't like. There was a lot of bullying going on. I was quite a mild-mannered child at 19. Didn't know what to expect. And I came into a couple of, how do I put them, disgusting characters. I'll say it that way. One of them in particular was Vile, which, you know, he kind of made my life for probably a year, 2 years hell. That wouldn't happen now. You know, things have changed with me. I allowed far too much from him, but it was a different culture then. You know, a lot of nasty stuff going on behind the scenes. There was a lot of bullying going on. But there were a lot of pluses as well. You know, it's just a shame the way I left Tranmere, and in particular under John Aldridge. I left Tranmere because of John Aldridge, because he wanted to sign me a contract. And I said, no, it wasn't a very good contract. And then I got hammered in the papers and I got lied about. And then a lot of the Tranmere fans turned against me, which is a bit of a shame. But that was probably it's not the way I really wanted to leave Tranmere, really. But I'm thankful for Johnny King and Ray Mathias and Warwick Rimmer, who gave me the opportunity to grow my football and to play at the professional. I still remember the day that I signed the contract with my dad in Johnny King's little office down at Valley Road in Bidston on the Wirral. And that day will stay with me forever. You know, it really will. And so there was a lot of good moments at Tranmere. And obviously you always get the negative stuff as well, but it molds you as a man. So I looking back, I haven't really got a problem with that.
Yeah. And was it Stockport you went to from there?
Yeah, I kind of went from the fire to the, you know, something that's even, that was probably even worse with Gary Megson. He was old school, proper old school Gary Megson, and I fell out with him quite quickly, really. And
When you say that, Graham, what do you mean he was old school? What was different?
He used to, if you ask a lot of West Brom old players, Brian Jensen, beast.
Yeah.
There's a lot of who just did not like him. He was in your face, horrendous. And he took it. I don't know what disliking to me, because I wouldn't accept it. I don't like being bullied by anyone, especially after what happened to Tranmere. So I kind of grew up as a man a little bit, and I just would not accept it. And I think he didn't like me for that, because I stood up to him. You know, he's one of them "how dare you" type of thing, and he's the reason why I left. I think I nearly had a physical altercation with him in Bristol City away, Ashton Gate, I think it was, with Cookie, Paul Cook, Chesterfield manager. He was kind of in the middle of it as well. So he was just another bully for me. And I'd say that to his face now. I would not have a problem saying he was a disgraceful human being. But again, it was the way football was then. You know, a lot of footballers would be crying their eyes out with some of the stuff that used to go on there. It is a totally different world now, but it's just, I said, it just molds you. You look back and you have a little laugh about it now, which I do, you know, and as I said, it's molding me to the person I am now.
It's important to speak out and say these things. I mean, I had Paul Stewart came on, who his level of abuse was physical, and, you know, but he speaks so well about it and now speaks into the safeguarding community in the football. So go on to check out if anybody wants to see that one. Yeah, but then it's interesting, Graham, because you talk about these figures, you know, Ray Mathias, you know, I remember that name. I remember him being at Tranmere. Gary Megson was a big name in football.
Yeah.
And then you come to Burnley. I mean, but Stan's no shrinking violet, is he? Just tell us how that... did you know of Stan? Had you had any dealings with him before?
No. When I played a reserve game, played really well, and Stan and the Fox, Clifford Roberts, came to watch me and they signed me. And I fell out with the gaffer. I call him the gaffer. I fell out with him more than anyone else, Stan. Fell out with him weekly. It was never physical. It was, but the respect was huge. It's mad. I don't know. It's the gaffer came with a fearsome reputation. He wouldn't take any rubbish off anyone, you know. And some of the stories I could tell you, you know, it's probably for another, you know, podcast. And he's a tough man, the gaffer. You know, proper tough man. Well, again, old school tough man. But I fell out with the gaffer all the time, and he fell out with loads of people, the gaffer, because it was his way or the highway. And that's the type of person he was. But I still go up and see the gaffer. I mean, I went up with Wells, Paul Wells, you know, and about a year ago to his house, and we spent 3 or 4 hours there. It was brilliant. You know, it was like the old days. I wouldn't do that for any other boss. You know, I see Warwick, got a lot of respect for Warwick, and Ray. I haven't seen Ray for years, got massive respect for Ray. You know, he helped me behind the scenes and stuff, but if you don't respect someone, why would you go up there, you know, drive an hour and go and see the boss, the gaffer? But I respect him hugely, you know, because he'd walk to the ends of the earth for you.
Yeah. I've had quite a few lads from your era, Graham. Paul Weller, one of them.
Wells, yeah.
And he was, you know, he did describe it. It was like, you know, he would do the most outrageous thing or say the most outrageous thing. But the morning after, it was gone. It was done.
Yeah.
But if there was a rollicking to be had, it was done. And then it was, you know, the next morning he could have his arm around your shoulder.
And I think that's a sign of a good manager. I don't think there's so much rollicking going on now. I think the man management is slightly different now with, you know, the modern game. You know, and football's changed quite a lot from what I'm seeing. But I think there was just more men around then. You know, you can't even tackle someone now without getting a yellow card. You know, things are very, very different now. And the gaffer, I mean, there's always going to be people who's got, you know, a negative word to say about the boss, the gaffer, because that's the type of person he was. But I will probably assume that most people would have a lot more positive stuff to say about the gaffer, because he was like Bovril. You either liked him or you hated him, you know. And there's people who like you and dislike you all over the world, isn't there? So
he created something special, though, didn't he? I was talking to Jamie Hoyland about Burnley and Gawthorpe. This is prior Premier League days, where Gawthorpe was Gawthorpe, and you know, and Jamie always made me laugh when he said, you know, you'd go down there and it was cold and it was damp and it was mouldy. He said, but do you know what? It was our mould and it was our damp. And there's something about that, isn't there? You know,
he's spot on. I mean, we used to play in mud, and he used to come up to your knees. The pitches were that bad. And but we used to go down there, and the banter in them little dingy little rooms that we had. We had a big pot of tea in the middle of it, and we used to have the banter was flying around. But the banter was, it was nice banter. It changed when Steve Cottrell came. It started getting a bit nasty with, you know, some of the individuals that were in there. But with the gaffer, he brought in, with Jeppo and Cliff Roberts and the Doc, Sam Ellis, you know, he brought in a great bunch of lads, and they're the ones who stabilised the club. and allowed, you know, them to get into the Premier League, you know, and without that kind of team and squad, Burnley wouldn't have been where they are this season, or, you know, the seasons before. And they were brilliant, brilliant bunch of guys.
I think that's really important to say, actually. I was thinking about this earlier in preparation to talk to you. I was thinking, I wonder, you know, if you ask Burnley fans where the success to or where they are today started, I think most people would say it started with Stan's tenure at the club, because he put us on a path to, you know, there was ups and downs. There were good seasons and there were not so good seasons, but generally it was a consistent approach. I'll never forget the night where he called out some of his players. I'm not sure if you were there, Graham. There was, and he said he named them on Radio Lancashire. He said these lads will never play for Burnley again.
Yeah, probably was.
And they didn't. Yeah. They didn't. And from that point, I think all the fans took to Stan, and from there the journey began. And you had some decent players, Graham. There were some decent players in your squads that you were involved with, weren't they?
There was, I mean, flipping heck. There was brilliant players. Wow. I mean, like Robbie Blake, Glenn Little, Wells, even Westy, little Westy at the right back. We had, you know, the Beast in goal, you know, Cookie up front, Paul Cook in midfield, Andy Payton, Steve Davis, Coxie, flipping heck. You know, it goes on and on and on. You know, they're all really good players. And to get those together, you know, in one squad, and that's the reason why we got promoted. And, you know, we were banging on, you know, I think one season we went far off Premier League. You know, I think when we got promoted, we'd beaten everyone. And then obviously we tailed off at the end. But it wasn't just the players. It was what they brought in their character and the way that they mingled with everyone, because everyone got on really well.
Yeah.
Now you have fractured squads who are just as talented, but they don't succeed as much, because you need to, it was my favourite time as a footballer. And they were all like a family. And they all worked for each other, and they all went down together. They all play, you know, they all went out together. And we, as I said, it was the best time of my career in the 17 years I was a footballer. I was very lucky to have them lads around.
And by the end of your time at Burnley, the fans adored you, didn't they? I mean, it wasn't always like that, was it?
It wasn't, because, you know, I did struggle a little bit with confidence sometimes and playing different positions. I think what I've noticed since leaving Burnley is that a lot of fans, and it's quite a strange thing, a lot of fans are really respectful of me now, because they now understand how hard it is to play in different positions every week at the level I was playing at, you know. And I sometimes went on the pitch. I remember one game playing centre forward, me and Pates. We were beating teams for fun. Me and Pates were quite an effective partnership. And the second half I was centre half. And I was thinking, how can you go centre forward to centre half? But a lot of fans come up to me going, you know what, Branchy, I take my hat off to you. And I know what's coming, because I've had it. I said, well, why do you say that? He goes, because you played in every position, and most of the time you played it really well. Mm-hmm. I said, I take my hat off to you, because I know how hard, and I didn't know at the time, but I know how hard it is now when you take yourself away from what happened, just how much you did for the club. But the gaffer would always play me in different positions. And at the time I hated it, because I didn't, you want to psych yourself up, I'm playing against this person, I need to make this run, I need to do this. But I never knew where I was playing. So it was always quite a hard thing for me to step in, go and go, oh, I'm playing centre half, I've just been told. So it's quite hard. But looking back, it helped me with my career. And it also gave me an understanding of my football coaching now, so I can coach it to the children as well, which is beneficial for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I followed Burnley pretty much all my life, and I remember you very fondly, you know, and the younger people who don't remember you, like my daughter is upstairs.
Yeah, you know, I'm old now.
You know, you were definitely a 100%er, you know, I saw somebody on the telly the other day said, you know, if you're 100%er, then fans will accept that. It's when you're not 100%er that they'll get on your back. And
totally agree.
And what was the high point then of your time at Turf Moor?
Getting promoted with the gaffer and everyone and Righty. We had a laugh. We went to Villa Mora, I think, couple of weeks after. The feeling of going out that night into Burnley, we were like kings. It was absolutely mad. Because I don't think I've ever been out in Burnley until that night. Don't think I've been out in Burnley since. And it was heaving. Yeah. God, everyone in Burnley was out. And every club we went into, the whole place would just stop, start singing our name. It was, looking back, because I don't like that. I said to Veronica Simpson up at Burnley, I find it very hard going onto the pitch now because everyone starts singing your name and you feel like you're in the middle of a bubble, and I don't like it. I don't like that attention. But going out that night, it was, wow. It was like, it was amazing. You know, the atmosphere in Burnley was just unbelievable. A couple of the goals were scored as well, which, you know, the two that kept us up, Wimbledon on a Tuesday and then Derby on the Saturday. We won 1-0 and 2-1, 1-0. I scored the winner, kept us up before we got beat by Rotherham in the last game of the season. That sticks in my mind because I knew that had been a very tough season. You know, I think we had a lot of injuries and stuff wasn't going right. So to win, you know, before the last game of the season took the pressure off. I know we got battered by Rotherham, but I think it's just because the season was such a tough season. So there was, yeah, a lot of positives. And yeah, I just really enjoyed it.
What do you think it is about our club, Graham? I mean, virtually every Burnley footballer that's been on here has said, you know, there's nothing like Burnley. It's unique, something very special. And, you know, because you live here, you probably, you know, we're living here, you perhaps don't know why it is, but, you know, all the kids wear Burnley shirts, don't they? There's no just Liverpool shirts in Burnley. What do you think it is about Burnley as a town, as a football club?
I think Burnley, if I'm going to be, from my perspective, if I'm going to think and look at Burnley, it's the centre of Burnley. It's their meeting place. Do you know, like, when you've got a favourite cafe or a favourite nightclub and you get everyone going there? Yeah. Burnley Football Club is the meeting place of everyone, and it's like one big family.
Yeah.
You know, it's, they all go to support a common goal, Burnley. Everyone I've spoken to, obviously you always get someone who doesn't like you. That's just the way of the world. But everyone, I go to Burnley now, and I mean, I go early because I get stopped 100 times in the street. All right, branch you. And you have to and you want to have conversations with them. You don't just go hi and walk off. You actually want to engage with them because you feel like you have to because it's something that you miss. It's weird because everyone's so warm and they want to know what you're getting up to and what's happened in your life. And, you know, it's just a lovely atmosphere, you know, and I can totally understand why other footballers say that because that's exactly how I feel. You know, it is correctly a unique place. It really is.
And have you enjoyed seeing Burnley reach the promised land, for want of a better word? You've enjoyed that?
Yes.
Following that, it's been quite incredible, hasn't it, the last 7 or 8 years?
It's been unbelievable. And I watch most of the games on the weekend when I'm not coaching with my, you know, daughter and stuff. And I try and watch, and Burnley is the first squad I look out for. I mean, even more than Liverpool, you know, who I support. I always need to make sure, you know, that Burnley are doing well. I'm glad that they're starting to do well now, hopefully, even if they do go down, even if they do. It gives them belief to know that they can do it, you know, instead of just being whacked every week, you know, which was happening. They're starting to build that confidence up now. But they deserve to get there, you know, when they got promoted, you know, and when they got promoted again, I was, you know, absolutely over the moon. So, you know, it'll happen. You know, and hopefully they'll become an established Premier League team. No doubt about it.
And what's it like for a player when you leave a club that you've had a great time at? You know, you even had a testimonial at Turf Moor, didn't you? What was it like the final day you left the club?
I don't get emotional that much. I was emotional that day, I remember. You know, someone gave me a microphone to say thank you to all the people who turned up. It was really hard. If I'm going to be, you know, got to be really honest. Again, it was a slightly bitter taste in my mouth the way I left, because I definitely thought I had another year left in me. I didn't get on with Steve Cottrell. I, you know, there's loads of stuff going on behind the scenes, so I definitely didn't get on with him. And that's not because I'm quite hard to get on with. There's a lot of people who didn't like him, you know, behind the scenes. And it was quite sad, really, the way it all ended, considering I'd been there for so long and he'd only been there for such a short space of time. I felt it was more my club than his. But I got a lot of support from people, and you know, I knew it was coming to an end, because we, you know, we all get older, don't we? And you know, when our mind, our bodies can't do what our minds sometimes want to do. But I remember playing against Preston, came on and played off front with Adi Akinbaye, and I played really well, and I knew I could still do it that, you know, that last season. But it just wasn't meant to be, and you just got to accept it and get on. And but I've just got, you know, hugely fond memories of the place for sure.
And what people might forget as well, Graham, is you didn't travel far when you left Burnley, did you? You went down the road to Aki.
Yeah, I mean, my son at the time was young. I went down to meet, is it John Bond? No, it's not Bond. It's Billy Bond. Is he? He was the number two at Tottenham. The old Bournemouth manager. Kevin Bond. I met him at his house. So I've got a sign for Bournemouth. Which was a stunning place. Well, what a place to live that would be. And they offered me a really good contract. They offered me a really good contract, but because I would have missed my son, I stayed up here, you know, with Accrington Stanley, which was different than Burnley, you know, I'm going to be honest. And, you know, I didn't overly enjoy my time at Accrington. It was, you know, different. Maybe because I was just thinking of Burnley, you know, leaving Burnley, and it was still heavily on my mind. I just felt that I had unfinished business there. But as I said before, that's football. You just got to get on with it, haven't you?
What about the day when you actually hang up the boots for good? You know, I mean, that must be quite a poignant, reflective moment for you and the family.
Very. I was playing semi-pro at Connors Quay with Davy Challoner, who's a Stockport.
Yeah.
And I got kicked in the eye, got kicked in my left eye, and it blew out my orbital bone. So I had two operations on this eye. My eyesight's fine, thank God. So I kind of knew then it was probably time to give up, because I knew that if I had got another injury to this eye, it could be more serious. So then I gave up. Yeah, it was tough. But when I look back, you know, I was a professional footballer for 17 years. You know, that's unbelievable. You know, and I count my, you know, blessings a lot, you know. And you know, some professional footballers don't even play for 5 years; they play for 17. Mm. So I'm a very lucky guy.
And how did you adjust to Civvy Street? Was it difficult, or did you settle?
Yeah.
Tell us.
It was like coming out of jail. it was mad.
Yeah.
You know, like it was strange. You know, and not that I'll ever go to jail, you know, and come feel what it feels like to come out of jail, but it was just like, you're lost. It's like, you're like a boat without its, you know, it's all, you know, you're like, what am I doing? No one's telling you what to do. No one's telling you what to eat. You're slowly getting, you know, unfit. Mm. You're not training every day. You don't feel as strong. You miss the banter. The banter was the big one.
Mm.
You know, I still get Paul Weller loads of stick and, you know, stuff like that. I saw Glenn Little last week up at Colne with the gaffer, and I went up with Mickey Mellon's Fruity. So I'm still having banter, but it was, you know, very, very strange. But, you know, thankfully now I'm very busy with my football coaching. I'm helping the children. I help children who have been expelled from school during the day.
Right, great.
It's a tough job, yeah, which I get a lot of enjoyment out of. So, you know, I'm filling my time in a positive way, which is good.
And why have you never gone into the old football management then? You know, like Mr. Weller's doing at Colne.
Have you seen the way he looks? Too much stress. I said to Fruity, Mickey Mellon, because I work with Mickey as well. And I just said, I just don't need the stress. I want my life as nice as possible. I realise how lucky I've been. But if you look at, you know, people like Wells, you know, and Mickey Mellon, too much stress. It doesn't look good on them, you know. And I just feel that I had stress for 17 years. I don't want any more.
Do you know what though, Graham? You say that, but I mean, I used to do semi-pro football, but the worst games to referee was the under 12s cup final or whatever.
Oh, Beth.
Oh my God.
We had a meeting last night with West Kirby Football Club, who I coach for, and we had a meeting, and some of the coaches who were saying that they just were ref. because it's horrendous how much stick they get. But I mean, it's football's that way. But I love watching, and I love the coaching side. But I don't even get involved with Saturday football. I take a step back and let the coaches deal with it, because there's too many idiots around, unfortunately, and there's too much nastiness. Which
it does. It does have a knock on, though, doesn't it? I was chatting Chris Casper's. I know Chris quite well, and he's at. I think he's still at Salford. You know, he just said the first thing they tell the parents is that, you know, they come at 8 and 9. It's like you just got to enjoy the game of football. That's all we want you to do at the minute.
It's the world's a hard place. I mean, it's a tough place, and if you can't go in and have a kick around with your mates and have a laugh, you know, and pick someone up off the floor instead of trying to hurt them, or parents, you know, fighting because their kid hasn't scored a goal, or the kid's been tackled extra hard by a boy. I mean, come on, what's going on? I mean, as I said during the day, I'm dealing with children who are in a really bad situation. Some of these kids don't even know how lucky they are. You know, and they need to get a grip. And so do some of the parents as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Graham, it's been great chatting to you. As we record this, it's kind of the end of April. Burnley have got a massive game tomorrow on the Saturday against Man United. Do you think there's enough about them to take this down to the last day of the season against Forest?
Yeah, I don't think Man United are anything special this season. And I think if they can, you know, they've picked up big time lately. And, you know, Sheffield United can give Man United a hard game, which they did. Then, the score with Burnley and Sheffield United, you know, very recently. So it'd be great if they give themselves that chance, maybe last game of the season against Nottingham Forest, who were no great shakes themselves, to, you know, retain their Premiership status. I don't see why not. I wouldn't have said that maybe 3 months ago.
No.
Things have changed a lot. So, you know, it'd be great if they can hang in there, get a few more wins, you know, a few more points on the board and stay in contention for the last game of the season. I don't see why not. And everything's crossed.
Fabulous. Well, I hope so. I'm the same as you. A few months ago, I just thought there's absolutely no way. A few weeks ago, probably. But I'm actually thinking they're playing quite well at the minute. They're playing some good stuff, and they're defending a lot better.
Yes.
Please, let's get it at least to the last day and give it a
go. Yeah, be great. Definitely.
Well, Graham, thanks ever so much. I know people will enjoy this, and people who have been watching this, if you like your Burnley football, as Graham's mentioned, people who've been on, Andy Pates has been on, Paul Weller has been on.
Yeah.
Roger Eli, Winnie White, Jamie Hoyland, some fabulous chats.
Very.
And walking down memory lane. So, Graham, thanks so much for coming on.
No worries. It's been a pleasure. It's been great. Yeah.
And we'll catch up again sometime, eh?
Yeah, you look after yourself, all right, mate?
God bless you, mate. Ta-da.
Take care. See you, mate.